Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
In the sunshine of your love. So all of the worshippers of Obama are still waiting for the sunshine of his love, and instead they're getting the umbra of his shadow as he dashes off to yet another vacation in the midst of dropping two impotent bombs on the most vicious, insanely diabolical, genocidal, Islamo-fascist psychotics the world has ever seen. This is equal to Bill Clinton's aspirin factory, experience in Libya. Remember that one, the aspirin factory? Yeah, those two bombs will do a lot. Knock that one artillery piece. What about the people on the mountaintop? You know, I don't understand this. I mean, I think we better begin with some comic relief today. And I'm going to do politics, I swear to you. It is Rock and Roll Friday. Any topic from the week is going to be fair game. Now the idiot from the head of the CDC is saying it's inevitable that Ebola will spread in the United States. That is so reassuring. I'm glad we spend billions of dollars for these morons to travel to sex clubs in Thailand to study how horses become erect. I don't understand this. What do you mean it's inevitable that Ebola spreads in the United States, moron? If you had kept Ebola in the hot zone, it wouldn't be spreading. If you put a quarantine on travelers from the nations where it is a hot zone, it wouldn't be spreading. What is wrong with these people? That's why I say I'm not going to get too worked up too soon. At the second half of hour number two, we have Waleed Shobat, the great guest who will tell us who ISIS really is. I know who they are. They're Saddam's former army chiefs. You don't understand this, but I do. These are the Sunnis that were driven out by the U.S. troops and the so-called coalition forces at great expense in blood and dollars. They're now back. These are Saddam's former troops. This is the old Republican Guard. They are now more psychotic than ever, which just shows you we never should have killed Saddam Hussein. Bush 1 had it right. He didn't kill Saddam Hussein and his sons. He weakened him. He understood that we needed him as a counterbalance to the Shia in Iran. But Bush, too, blew it. Don't know who advised them. Maybe the same people who were advising Obama. I really don't know. But I really don't want to get into politics immediately. We'll have to move into it slowly. It is Rock and Roll Friday. So I thought we'd begin with some comic relief. And that would be Viagra horror stories. You can say, what, are you crazy? Well, no, I'll tell you why I'm thinking of Viagra horror stories. One, because every time I see those ads on television, in the midst of my guts grinding with murder and mayhem and death, and in the midst of it, there's ads for hair transplants and male potency. And then this stupid caveat on Viagra ads is, if you have an erection that lasts more than 4 hours, call your doctor. I mean, hey, if that happened to me, I'd call my priest, not my doctor. What do you mean, call your doctor? Isn't that the object? I don't quite understand the whole country I live in anymore. But one of the reasons I'm bringing up Viagra was A, to get your attention, and B, to come up with a partial solution to the madness of the Islamofascists. Now let's analyze why they're all so frustrated. It's sexual and it's the lack of alcohol. So one of the reasons I bring up the Viagra story is this. I have a potential solution short of carpet bombing the Sunni triangle. And that, tell me if you think this is absurd. Instead of dropping bombs, drop thousands of little airline bottles of alcohol. I start with vodka. Let him start on something easier to digest. Thousands of bottles of airline vodka in plastic bottles. Thousands of Viagra tablets and pornography. Maybe, just maybe, that would do the trick to get them off their thousand-year vendetta against the world. Now, I realize this is maybe too comedic in the political arena and a little too zany for you on a Rock and Roll Friday, but hey, that's the kind of guy I am. The reason I'm into the 60s is I'm editing my journals from 1963 on. I know many of you can't believe it, but I've been around a while. So my first journal started in 1963. So I've done 63 through 66. And this is an amazing transitional period in my life. I have completed the typescript of 175 pages, which only encompasses 4 of 25 journals, or 4 of 30 journals that I have in a secure location, which are going to be published, by the way, I think, as a series of e-books with a very important publishing partner of mine. So in this beginning segment, which occurs in the 60s, the heart of it, remember, from 63 to 66, I transitioned from a college graduate to a young teacher, young social worker, go to Europe, go to the Bahamas to sell real estate. I hate being a salesman. I last only 2 months. I go to Europe again. All sorts of things happen in your life in such a short period of time. It's amazing to me. And looking back at that period of my life, I realized that I could have gone in many different directions. I was a pretty heavy marijuana user in those years, and I've told you that before, which is why I know so much about it and the dangers of marijuana. And I look at my journals, I can see my handwriting, how it alters as I'm high on marijuana. I look back on those years. I visited some important people who I thought were very important in those days, people who are not even remembered anymore. They were demigods to me. And they really were not that important. And I wound up being a bigger man than they were. But if I look at the journals that I wrote from 63 to 67, just rapping right now. I'm just rapping. I just want to rap on the Savage Nation this Friday, okay? Indulge me if you don't mind. I'll reestablish my credentials as a certifiable great talk show host in a minute here on the show. You can call if you wish on any topic. 855-400-728. What would you do if you had an erection that lasted 4 hours? Who would you call? All right, let me go back to something absurd. Who would you call? You wouldn't call your doctor unless to thank him and send him a bouquet of flowers from Pro Flowers. I mean, that's all you can do. But I don't understand it. If it lasts more than 4 hours, isn't that the object? But I love the old Viagra, the old Viagra jokes. They say, well, it may turn your vision blue. I said, that's the object, so you don't see who you're with. Symbol shot. You say, oh, your vision turned blue. Right, that's the object. You don't want to see who you're with. That's why you get aroused. Nevertheless, you move on. So back in the 60s, as I was saying, I look at my journals, in the handwritten journals, and I see my handwriting changing as I'm imbibing in cannabis. And what I thought was brilliant is just gibberish. Some of it's pretty good, but most of it is about the disassociation of my personality. Marijuana disassociates your personality and it cleaves you into pieces. How anyone could find that entertaining or enlightening is beyond me. Why so many millions of American morons would want to disassociate their personality into pieces, I don't understand. And so what you have to comprehend is the road to survival in this vicious world, the road to success in this vicious world, is not the disintegration of your psyche, but the cohesion of the disparate elements of your psyche into one profound personality. Not 16 horses pulling at the reins. Because at any time, you youngsters don't understand this. Any one of those horses can put you over the cliff. And you ask anyone in the drug business, they know exactly what I'm saying. So if you want to talk about Viagra or marijuana or the 60s or music, go ahead. Make my day. Eventually, we will get to politics, I promise you. And also, if you have comments on my thoughts on how to solve the madness of Islamofascism, dropping thousands of little plastic airline bottles of booze over the Sunni Triangle, along with some porno and some Viagra, maybe it'll stop them from killing. Maybe make love, not war, would work for those maniacs. I mean, much of it is sexual frustration. If you want to do a strict Freudian analysis of Islamofascism, it's sexual frustration. There's no booze in their culture. Look what happened. I mean, this is some argument for drinking when you think about it. Think about it. We're a culture that loves alcohol. We don't go around trying to convert people and kill them if they don't convert. We don't cut their heads off. I mean, this is an argument for having a drink once in a while. I mean, let it go, Muhammad. You know what I mean? Take a shot once in a while. It may open up your mind, man. I mean, maybe you can transcend 1,000 years of murder. I don't know. Just guessing. So since it's Friday, which is the beginning of the Jewish Sabbath, at nightfall. Right now, this is the Muslim Sabbath. That's right. And I have many Muslim listeners who agree with me 100%. Breaking news, ISIS takes hundreds of Yazidi women captive. Oh, God. Oh, God, I don't want to see this. I can't take it. I was having fun. So the two impotent bombs that the commander in grief just dropped did nothing? Great. I mean, really, what a schmuck we have for a president. What a schmuckola. He drops two bombs, runs away on vacation, and ISIS runs up the hill and grabs Yazidi women. Wow! And I thought he was going to get another Nobel for this. How do you like that? No, this is not a laughing matter. We have to do something quickly. But I don't know what to say to you. I mean, I'm just laughing and having a good time. Did you hear the headline? Just came out a minute ago on Fox News. Faster than a speeding bullet, they did it. Because they knew the doofus was on vacation. He threw two bombs at him. U.S. jets bomb Iraqi militant artillery firing on Kurds near U.S. personnel. So it's U.S. artillery. They stole our artillery. Obama orders two airplanes against them to drop two bombs, not three, not four, not five, not six, but two bombs, and then he rushes off on vacation. 855-407-2822. I don't know whether to stick to my theme of the 60s and let the world go to hell and let them all kill each other, but I feel bad for the Yazidis. They're innocent people. Who are they bothering? Who are they bothering? Can we allow another Holocaust to occur? Can we continue to let Obama drive hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of illegal aliens over the border into the United States when TB is spreading at the camps for these poor children? Can we allow it? Can we keep laughing? I don't know. Maybe living well is the best revenge. That's why I'm asking you for your Viagra horror stories. I'll be right back to take your calls on all this and more of the madness of the world right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Embracing the tie-dyes. Look what it led to. Take a look at what's running the country today. Yeah, bring it all down, man. Why not do it in the road? If it feels good, do it. God is mad. Man, is he pissed. God is so mad. He is just so angry. And Moses went and spoke these words unto all Israel. He said, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. And the Lord hath said unto him, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. He will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt dispossess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And the Lord will do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, the kings of the Amorites, and unto their land whom he destroyed. And the Lord will deliver them up before you, and ye shall do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be affrighted of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. It's a little piece of Deuteronomy for those of you who are fallen Jews or rising Christians. I feel that, I don't know, maybe a Friday piece from the Old Testament's not so bad. Don't call and say yes, Mike, or no, Mike. Don't call and say I hate religion, don't read it. I was just starting to get used to your show, now I will never listen again. Or Mike, I was just about to hang up and never listen to you again, and now I'm going to listen forever. I mean, what, am I going to listen to everybody who calls the show? KSFO, Jerry, give us the Viagra horror story. What happened?
Well, I have a doctor who's a very good friend, and he supplies me with free samples of Levitra, Cialis, and Viagra on a regular basis. My wife has no idea I use the stuff. So they all work.
Wait. I don't want to get into details. You mean within your marriage or outside the boundaries of marriage?
Yeah, within.
Well, okay, and I'm just asking. Okay. Yeah. Oh, so she thinks you got it. Okay.
Right. So, and they all work a little bit differently for me. So one weekend I decided to try this term called stacking, where I took one of each.
Come now.
I swear to God. And
what? And your fingers became rigid and you had to go to a rheumatologist?
I couldn't blow my nose. It was so hard. But the bottom line was my wife ended up leaving me on Saturday. This happened on a Friday night. She had no idea I was using this stuff, and it took me like 2 months to reconcile with her because she was convinced something outside of the marriage was causing me to be that stimulated, and I finally had to come clean, and it was a nightmare.
Oh, wait, you took three of the different male enhancement medications at the same time?
Correct.
Well, why would you do that? Why not just take a larger dose of any one of them?
Because they all work on me a little bit different. One's faster,
Please, let's not go into details. This is a family show. Okay. Thank you. It's the Savage Nation. We're talking about everything.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
President Zero is, of course, the reason that the country is in decline. And, of course, President Zero wouldn't miss a vacation, even if there's 50,000 people trapped on a mountaintop. Even if Ebola is being brought in by the idiots at the CDC. Hey, you don't interrupt a good vacation. 8-5. Sheriff says Mexican immigrant gangs in military fatigues are marching through South Texas. Top of Drudge Report. Well, you know, you shouldn't trust Drudge. I mean, you should trust CNN. You should trust ABC, CBS, NBC. The sheriffs in the south of Texas, they're not to be trusted. I mean, they're white, number one. They're right-wing crackers. And just because they say that Mexicans in army fatigues are marching over the border, you shouldn't believe them. You should believe, The View, for example. The rotten guava on the jungle floor of television. Yeah, that's who you should believe. The laugh-a-thon folks, the people who read other people's scripts. You should believe Jon Stewart, Bill Maher, Colbert, the people who read other people's scripts. In other words, the government comedians, the government jesters are who you should go to for your news. Always believe the government jesters. They're as reliable as the government agents in every other sphere. If you like what the IRS gave you, I'm sure you'll love what the government comedians give you during the laugh-a-thon. Let's take some callers on the Savage Nation. WABC Jack, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just think what you just said about the booze and the Viagra, it's kind of frightening. You know, you got to think about these guys are living in caves for 2 years, ain't changed clothes, ain't had a bath, and so you want to drop them booze, get them all drunk, and the next day Viagra, and you look at the guy next to you, he's throwing kisses and smiling. That's
seek immediate medical help for an erection lasting
more than
4 hours.
Yeah, but don't you understand if they have no outlet for their newly found sexual prowess, which apparently they're all impotent. That's why they kill instead of making love. I mean, that's why they shoot machine guns instead of making love. They kill people. It's all a matter of impotence. And I think that Viagra may be a solution. Airdrop Viagra, small bottles of booze, and let them have it at each other. I mean, that's the way of the wolf, isn't it? What's that?
When you have
what's that static?
Guys naked and chasing each other. Yeah, let them go at it.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate this. I'll only do this for a while. For some reason, I had tremendous static coming in. I guess the NSA were bored, and they had to throw static into the television show, now the radio show, rather. Jimmy on KSFO, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dr. Savage. I think that this whole ISIS situation is a perfect example as to how we need to have a well-armed populace of, you know, people who are centered around the ideas of secular morality, private property, you know, the things that we learned during the Enlightenment that formed Western culture. We need to be able to vehemently defend that here at home, because we're going to get to a situation where, you know, we're going to have people who have these radical left-wing socialist ideas, and they're going to try to reject our culture.
That's right. Our culture of degeneracy, is it worth dying for? Because they think it's worth killing for.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean,
you know, it's an interesting pair. Look, I can get very serious and get into a philosophical mode and be the sage of radio. We have an America that's degenerated. We know that. Girls gone wild, et cetera, the whole story. And God is probably mad at us, if you want to look at God as a vengeful God. And so he brings upon the planet the exact opposite, the psychotics, who interpret the Bible from a 5,000-year-old perspective, the original Jewish Bible, by the way. They interpret it exactly as it was written by the ancient Hebrews. And they say that anyone who doesn't follow it should be killed. Anyone who doesn't convert should be killed. So what's actually going to go on in this world? Who's going to win this battle?
I think I have this hope in my mind that ultimately those who, you know, live rational, reasonable lives will be able to eventually convince enough people that, you know, we need to be able to defend ourselves. And I think we see this pretty clearly throughout
America. Yeah, I mean, but is it worth dying for the right to use Viagra and watch pornography? I mean, is that what you're saying? Those are the symbols of Western civilization now? Is rampant sex and sexual enhancement? I mean, what is it? What is Western civilization anymore?
It's really about voluntary interaction between individuals on a rational basis. And I think that we've come to this point where we see all of this, you know, sort of tax farming and tax cattle being separated by religion and nationalism and all these different things, which I'll take nationalism over globalism any day, trust me. But it's about the respect for the rights of the individual and engendering that into the next generation of people. And then
I got a migraine listening. I mean, he was right, but I almost my eyes went out. It's too much. I can't think about it today. Something's wrong with my brain. I don't know what it is. I had a wonderful meal last night. I can't be the meal. I drank my normal portion of vodka. Couldn't be the vodka. I had a wonderful guest to dinner. Can I mention who it is? I hope he doesn't mind. A good friend of mine flew out on the West Coast, and he was in San Francisco. I didn't want to go into San Francisco to have dinner, and I said, why don't you come up? We'll go to my Basque restaurant way up in the boondocks. It's my friend Chris Ruddy of Newsmax. I had a nice dinner with him. It was a nice meal. But I have a migraine today. I mean, Teddy's better. Teddy is better. I'm very happy to announce. By the way, they hate dogs, too. What do you make of a religion, religious fanatics who hate dogs, hate women, hate Jews, hate Christians, hate Buddhists, hate Hindus, hate agnostics, hate Yazidis? What kind of religion is that? Can anyone explain this to me? How can you hate dogs? I mean, let's say I can see you can project hatred on the world, but a dog? What did a dog do to you? Anyone have an answer to this? What good is a religion that teaches you to hate so much? Can anyone explain that to me? It's an interesting question. Oh, well, anyway, these are some of the things we're talking about. U.S. launches first airstrikes in Iraq. Really? It was two bombs? And the squeegee men are back in New York? Remember the squeegee men in the old days? Those of you who are from New York City, remember them? They were the homeless bums who would, when you're at a traffic light, come over with dirty newspaper and a Windex bottle, and they would, you know, spray the car, and you had to give them a buck to get rid of them. Well, Giuliani cleaned that up, and that was the beginning of the end of the crime wave in New York. And as predicted, now that we have an Obama type of man running New York City, de Blasio, a leftist with his head in the clouds about whatever leftists think, I don't know. They're back again. Spray bottles of glass cleaner to wipe down windshields, menacing people near the Holland, Lincoln, and Queens Midtown tunnels, as well as the Queensboro Bridge. And drivers who pass through the areas say that panhandlers are spraying and wiping windshields without permission to shake down drivers for cash. Now, there was an old broken windows theory that kept the city safe by having cops crack down on minor offenses to prevent bigger violent crimes. Giuliani started that, and violent crime was really pushed back. But now, under de Blasio, in order to be fair, he's got to terrorize people who are working for a living by those who are not working for a living. 855-400-7282. How do you feel about the president going on vacation in the midst of the world going to you-know-where? Now, here are some of the topics from the week. Monday. Is there any good reason to bring Ebola patients to the U.S. from other countries? My answer was, are you insane? No. Today we wake up and we hear the head of the CDC, Neil, we got to get that clip of the genius saying it's inevitable that it's going to spread in America. I mean, this is really beyond belief. It wouldn't have been inevitable if you had kept the Viagra patients in Africa. Here, 23. Yeah, go ahead, let's hear it.
It's the first time we're having to deal with it here in the United States. And that's not merely because of the two people who became ill caring for Ebola patients and were brought back to the U.S. by their organization. That's primarily because we are all connected. And inevitably, there will be travelers, American citizens and others, who go from these three countries or from Lagos, if it doesn't get it under control, and are here with symptoms.
All right. Well, genius, I know you're the director of the CDC because you wear a suit well and you sound like Robin Williams in a comedy show. I was wondering who his voice sounded like. He has a very controlled voice, Tom Frieden. I was trying to place it. I'm an expert on voice. I should work for the CIA. But he sounds like Robin Williams in a comedy show. I guess the genius doesn't, even though he's the head of the CDC, he doesn't know the first rule of epidemiology, which is that you contain the epidemic. Said he says, bring him in. What do you mean we're all connected? So disconnect, schmuck. What do you mean inevitably there'll be travelers? You put in a quarantine, Schmendrick. Your Uncle Mo knew more about health than you do. Your uncle who probably slung pickles somewhere in the Lower East Side probably had more brains than you do. Educated probably MPH, MD. Doesn't know the first thing about containing an epidemic. Your Uncle Mo would have said, hey, moron, You're the head of the CDC. Keep him in Africa. Cut off all flights. What are you talking about, Schmendrick? Of course, you wouldn't have listened to your Uncle Mo because he only went to the fourth grade. What did he know? All right, let's get back to Viagra, the important stuff. Sharon on WABC, go ahead, please.
I'm sorry, I'm still laughing about Mo the Schmendrick. I learned a life lesson as a female from a Viagra moment with a former significant other. The life lesson was only answer the question that's posed to you. Don't give more information. So I said to him one night, are you taking Viagra? And he goes, no. Time passes. I said, come on, you're taking Viagra or, you know, one of those other ones, Cialis. He goes, Cialis. I'm like, well, you didn't tell me that before. He goes, you didn't ask.
Oh, God. Is it insulting to a woman, by the way, to learn that her partner is using a sexual enhancement drug?
I knew it. That other lady, the other guy's wife, she's stupid. I know.
No, but no, is it sort of humiliating to find that out?
Actually, I don't want to say what I'm really thinking because you said it's a family show. It's not humiliating. It's just not as, I can't say what I want to say. Let's put it this way.
No, I got it. Okay. No, I really never asked, never in radio or in real life. It must be humiliating for a woman to think that a guy needs a drug, right?
Anyway, with all due respect, it was just not
yeah,
as.
But Sharon, let's be realistic. I spoke to one of the doctors in the 90s who developed Viagra, and it was an accidental development. These drugs were being tried for the treatment of increased circulation for people with limited circulation due to circulatory diseases. And what they found out is that it affected that particular region of the body. And they said, wow, this is amazing. So that was the origin of these drugs. He told me that the women should listen to me very carefully. These drugs generally do not work unless the man is sexually attracted to the partner. Did you know that?
You know, my line to all women out there is this. Guys, if you have to take Viagra, you're with the wrong woman.
No, wait. Listen to what I just said. The man has to be sexually attracted to the partner in order for these drugs to work. It's not sufficient for, it's not simply a physiological reaction. And that is because, according to psychiatrists who study these drugs, these drugs help men with performance anxiety. Performance anxiety is rampant in our society. A lot of men are afraid of women. A lot of men like women but don't know how to approach them or don't know how to perform. They're afraid that they will not please the woman. And this gives them the extra confidence that they need in order to be what they want to be. It doesn't really change anything. I don't think you know that. I mean, it's not just automatic. Do you understand it's not an automatic response? The man has to want you?
Yes, but in this case, the man had diabetes, so it was pretty much medically necessary at times.
Oh, so you can't blame. So he's. Oh, so you shouldn't be mad at him.
No, I was never mad at him. I was just hoping for what I would have preferred, if you know what I mean.
All right. Let's cut it off there. But it's an interesting question. Maybe I just saved millions of marriages in America. Maybe women who have discovered these little blue pills in the medicine chest that were being hidden from them should understand that the man could not perform unless he was attracted to her. It just doesn't work, in other words, biomechanically. It doesn't work that way. Okay, well, you got the picture. Martha's Vineyard. I don't know why my mind jumped to that, but we'll talk about Martha's Vineyard in a moment right here on the Savage Nation.
Seek immediate medical help for an erection lasting more than 4 hours.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. We're talking about Viagra and war and peace and living and dying. And I thought maybe I saved marriages by telling the women out there that even if they discover that their husband was secretly using a sexual enhancement drug such as Viagra, they need to have wanted the woman in order for the Viagra to work. But it just dawned on me, what if the woman finds out that he's been using Viagra and it still doesn't work? I mean, that could ruin a millions of marriage, right? I didn't realize that till the break. I went into the radio kitchen, and as I was eating tuna fish on a cracker and some onions, it dawned on me that the opposite could be true. I always think when I'm either riding a bicycle because of the oxygenation, eating because it soothes me, and I can't finish it's a family show. But I think best in certain circumstances. The world's falling apart. I mean, this is like Nero. World war on Russia's mind when U.S. duels over Ukraine. That's what they're saying, that Obama is starting World War III. The Russians are saying it. No, don't listen to them. Listen to the spokesmouth for Obama. Putin advisor warns of worldwide war. The minute Israel agrees to a ceasefire, you're bloodthirsty, woman killing, child killing, insanely diabolical, genocidal Islamo-fascist Hamas launches rockets again. And the left cheers. And Penelope Cruz cheers. And Anthony Banderas cheers. I'm never going to see another one of their movies, ever. Any actor who ever attacked Israel, never. I won't even turn it on the TV.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Seek immediate medical help for an erection lasting more than 4 hours.
At 34 minutes after the hour, we're having Waleed Shubat on to tell you who ISIS really is, in Arabic and in English. So before we go there, I'm going to soften you up with some jokes. What was I talking about? My theory of ending the war in the Middle East? That it's largely a result of sexual frustration. That's why they kill instead of making love. I mean, there was something to be said for the 60s edict, make love, not war. If only those flower women could only convince the Islamo-fascists of that. They were just so brave putting flowers in the rifle butts of our National Guard, the feminists. I wonder why they don't have a battalion of the feminists go over to northern Iraq with flowers in their hair and see if they can convince their Islamo-fascist friends to lay down their arms and make love, not war. I wonder why they don't do that. I wonder why they only choose soft targets here in America. Well, speaking of soft targets, I was talking about Viagra in the last hour, and it's a comedic relief in the political arena, and truthfully, it's been a long week. It's been tough. Between the idiots at the CDC literally bringing Ebola into America and Obama's monster ball the other night with some of the world's worst African dictators. I don't know if there's any good African dictators, but he had the worst of them. And then him starting a war with Russia. And then him dropping two bombs and fleeing to a Martha's Vineyard. I don't get it anymore. We're living in a mad world. So I say living well is the best revenge, as our dear Supreme Commander-in-Chief has taught us. Leaving on vacation after launching precisely two bombs against the world's most insanely diabolical, genocidal, Islamo-fascist psychotics imaginable. And that's why I asked you for Viagra horror stories. And we had some fun with them. And then I looked up some Viagra jokes, and some of them are very funny. I wouldn't read them. I've never done this in my 20-year career. So at the risk of your displeasure, I'm going to read some, because the guys who are younger than me, they're 25 to 29. How old are you, Robert? You're in the mid-20s? Oh, my God, he's 31. He looks 25. And Neil is 54 but looks 28. Have you tried Starbucks' new hot beverage, Viagra Chino? One cup and you're up all night. Not bad. Okay. What's the difference between Niagara and Viagra, Niagara Falls? What are the two main ingredients in Viagra? A Miracle-Gro and Fix-A-Flat. What happens when you take Viagra and Propecia or use Rogaine at the same time? Just ask Don King. Why shouldn't men using iron supplements take Viagra? It may cause them to spin around and point north. I'm trying to do the ones that are not really kind of, you know, off color. A man goes into a pharmacy and asks for some Viagra. Have you got a prescription? The pharmacist asks him. No, but will a picture of my wife do? The man says, that's awful. That's 50s level anti-woman stuff. We can't read that on the air. Let's see. I can't read some of them. They're not funny and they're kind of, you know, ugly. Why shouldn't you mix prune juice and Viagra? No, I'm not even going to read that one. No, that's bad. Did you hear about the first death from an overdose of Viagra? A man took 12 pills and his wife died. Oh, why do nursing homes give their male patients Viagra to keep them from rolling out of bed? What is the difference between your first honeymoon and your second? The first Niagara, the second Viagra. I can't read that one. Not, no more. So that's just a few of them, just for fun, because we need relief today, don't we? Viagra turns 10. Collection of the best Viagra jokes of all time. Submit your funniest Viagra joke online. You like this or not? Be serious, Mike. Tell us what's bad about the world. Mike, stick. You know you're a bright man, Mike. Why are you doing these one-liners? Let's see. One-liners, Viagra jokes website. This is pretty good marketing. I mean, I wish they were advertising. Why should I read these? Why should I use the word Viagra? I shouldn't even read it. A man at the pharmacy to pick up his Viagra prescription exclaimed over the $10 pill price. He said, what? His wife, who was with him, had a different opinion. She said, oh, $40 a year isn't too bad. What is this one? This one I don't understand. Men are being warned not to take Viagra with nitrates after five gentlemen in India did so and changed the balance of power in the region. Does anyone understand that joke? That's so not... Does anyone understand that? I don't get that one. So I'll do whatever you want. It's open mic to Mike Friday. I can't take the news anymore. Let's go to Rosemary on WJR in Detroit. Rosemary, welcome to the comedic Savage Nation today. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you, Mike?
How am I? If I knew, I would tell you. I really don't know today. How are you?
I'll get to the point because you're going to hang up if I don't get to the point. You are asking if women mind if men take Viagra? Well, you know what? You guys have to put up with us, too, because some ladies get breast implants and do whatever they can to attract men. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't care what gasoline is in his car as long as it gets me to my destination.
Hey, well spoken from a savagette. And thank you, Rose. That's right. That's good. That's very good. You ought to be running America instead of the mad bomber. He threw two bombs and ran off to vacation. You know, when I saw him make the announcement last night, I actually felt good. I said, this is really great that he's going to bomb them into the Stone Age. No, two bombs he dropped. This is like the Clinton with the aspirin factory. This is crazy. The people are still up there. They're stuck up there. KBET, Mark, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, I just wanted to say you were really spot on last week when you said about marijuana can cause loss of mathematical ability. Because I was studying to be a scientist, and I tried marijuana in college, and I noticed right away I couldn't do calculus anymore. And I thought, okay, this is a fork in the road. Either I become a pothead or I become a scientist. And one other thing you said...
Wait, Mark, this is very important for listeners to understand. This is why George Soros funded the two original medical marijuana propaganda groups, both in Arizona and California, back in the 90s, and I argued with his spokesmouths. I warned against what would happen if this drug was not only made legal under the guise of medical relief, but also promoted as something healthful. I said this is an attempt to stupefy the population.
And it does. It knocks off our whole higher level of thinking. It's not just mathematics. That's the most obvious.
That's right. That's how a guy like Obama and the Democrat socialists get away with what they get away with. We have a largely drug population in the United States of America, especially amongst Democrats.
And they really pump it into the universities. You know, you turn around anyway and there's marijuana everywhere. And the other thing you...
Well, that's why we excel in math and science in America.
Yeah, it's gone. I was working with DARPA, NASA, and my career is over because I was a real scientist.
Well, that was so white of you to be so... You see, anyone who's so good in science and math is by nature a racist, because when you think about it, rational thought, that's kind of left-brainish. That's not really a full personality. You got to understand, to the American left, what you need is a full personality, not just a left brain. That's the kind of mindset that created America, the kind of America that Obama's transforming.
Well, he studied critical race theory, and if you read that whole, philosophy, they believe that rationality is something used by the white man to oppress the black man.
That's what I'm trying to say. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. You can't use reason unless you're a racist. What you have to use is emotion and thuggery in order to make your point. Intimidation, thuggery, emotion, that's the kind of thing that rules the White House. Look at the chicks running the world now. Take a look. You listen to them. You can't believe this is what's running America. It's unbelievable. They give speeches. It must really make ISIS shake in their boots, huh? Thanks for the call. It is 16 minutes after the hour. Living well is the best revenge. The phone number is 855-400-7282. Let's go to Max on KSFO in San Francisco.
Michael, how is it that the American public has tolerated a pharmaceutical culture of side effects that damage major organs and cause death as if it were the most normal thing in the world?
Tell me what you mean. Are you saying that these sexual enhancement drugs have such effects?
Sorry, say again, please.
Are you suggesting that Viagra, Levitra, Cialis have such effects?
Yeah, you can poke somebody's eye out.
Very funny. Come on.
Okay, no, but I'm talking about all the pharmaceutical continuing, for whatever ailment you have, the side effects are tremendous in some.
No, absolutely. Yeah, how did they become normalized is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. All of these pharmaceutical miracle drugs have serious side effects. And they do weaken other organ systems. They may help one. They're not holistic in their origin nor in their activity.
Wow.
I mean, this is why, look, Max, I tend to have avoided drugs my whole life. And I've reached a certain age I never thought I would get to be honest with you. I feel very lucky. I don't want to use the word blessed because I had inherited pretty bad genes. And, I never thought I'd make it past 50. But the fact of the matter is I'm still kicking along here. It must be due to the fact that I use mega doses of vitamins, mega doses of herbs, massive doses of garlic and onion. I would say sufficient quantities of alcohol to do the right thing. And I avoid pharmaceutical drugs like the plague, and I have it my whole life. The only pharmaceutical drug that I take on a regular basis is aspirin. And I only use the major brand. I won't mention them. Because as a former graduate student in pharmacology, you do not want to use substandard manufacturers in any drug, let alone aspirin, incidentally.
Thank you, Michael.
Well, thank you for the call, Max. So, look, we're flirting with some topics here, and the issue is what you'd like to talk about until we go to the serious stuff at 34 with Waleed Shobhat about the serious horror that's going on in Iraq right now. I really want to ask him. While he's an expert, you know, former member of the PLO, great guy, knows everything about the area, speaks a beautiful Arabic, which I love when he speaks it on this show. I'm going to ask him who ISIS is, because I suspect that I'm correct, that most of them, especially the leadership, are the former Republican Guard under Saddam Hussein. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Get back to the serious stuff at the bottom of the hour with Waleed Shobhat about what's really going on there, who ISIS really is, and what needs to be done to stop them. You pretty much know the answer already. You can see what Hamas is because they weren't totally annihilated. They're like cockroaches. And as you well know, unless you use enough raid, the cockroaches will continue to invade your kitchen. And I don't think that two sprays of two bombs will do the job with the psychotics who are raging through Iraq and Syria right now. WABC Rich, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike.
Yes.
Yeah, hi. Listen, I resent the conversation that somehow men's sexual excitement is to be exploited and made fun of. Let me give you an example.
Well, I'm sorry you're not up to the Viagra jokes, but that's all. 855-400-7282. I'm sorry he wasn't up to it. Barry on WFTL, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm up to it.
it works great. And the funny thing is, I was taking it regularly, you know, on and off with a girl I liked, and it was worked perfectly. Remember, you're absolutely right. It only works when you're subject to kissing or touching, and you have to be mentally or psychologically stimulated. So if the girl's ugly or you don't care about her and you're not in love with her, it's really not going to work unless you're thinking about somebody else in your mind.
No, that's what I'm trying. People don't understand that it's not like an auto response. These drugs don't work unless you are attracted to the woman.
If you take it, and I don't care how many you take, and you can watch a movie like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, nothing's going to happen. You won't even know you took it. It says right on the package, must be exposed to
it. Why is that? That's a very interesting question, because it affects the blood circulation going to the male organ. Why must the mind also be engaged?
Again, I think the same reason, even if you're not on it and you're with a girl you really don't like and you're not that attracted to, while you're with her, in order to get the full satisfaction, you got to think for somebody else in your mind. You know what I mean? Like they say, put a bag on her head.
Well, no, I don't go into those jokes. But the thing is, it's very intriguing that it will not work, for example, in an animalistic way. There must be this human connection as well. Isn't that what you're saying?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely. You have
well, I don't think men understand that. It's not an auto response is what I'm getting at. And that's got a plus and a minus to it, I got to tell you. Because what if a woman has been with a guy a long time and she says to him to go get them, and he gets them and they don't work? Then they really have trouble. I mean, then she'll say, well, he really doesn't get all, you know. That's the end of that marriage. So this is an interesting statement. I don't think it's well accepted that there has to be that auto, the eroticism, in other words, in plain English, has to be there, or the affection, or the romantic elements between the man and the woman must be there, as well as the circulatory enhancement.
Savage. The Savage Nation.
This is a really shocking thing that there's no federal intervention here.
Weekdays, noon till 3.
On airstrikes to protect our American personnel.
KSFO.
Right.
A humanitarian effort to help save thousands of Iraqi civilians.
Right.
We're trapped on a mountain without food and water.
All right, we got the picture. The only question is, why did he rush off on vacation? Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Two bombs? Is that going to be enough to knock out one artillery piece? Okay, my friends, here comes the serious part of the show after the jokes. We have a very knowledgeable man, Waleed Shubat, on the Savage Nation. Without further introduction, Waleed, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Michael.
Well, Waleed, you know more about the area than I do. ISIS, who are they really?
ISIS came as a result of the conflict in Syria, in which the U.S. began to aid the Free Syrian Army. Of course, you had the Nusra began to fight with Free Syrian Army. And as a result, later on came the ISIS, which came from out of Abu Mus'ab al-Zarqawi, a terrorist, Jordanian terrorist.
Wait, slow down, Waleed. Are you saying that by the United States supporting the rebels, so-called, in Syria, they grew out of that?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So these are the Frankenstein. This is a Frankenstein creation of John McCain and Barack Obama, in other words.
Absolutely. In fact, right now, if you look at the situation in Iraq, all the soldiers that were trained, all the operatives that were trained by the United States, who were anti-ISIS, in all the areas where ISIS took over, are now enlisting by the droves with the ISIS.
Oh, my God.
It is much worse than we think. So this is why we've always been against the removal of Saddam Hussein. This is why, on record, I've always been against this kind of war in Iraq, that we create vacuums, and those vacuums are always filled in with a much worse picture.
Correct. I said the same thing, that Bush 1 had it right, which was to weaken Saddam Hussein but not kill him. Bush 2 was advised by the neocons like Wolfowitz and others. They said, wipe them all out. We killed Saddam. All we did was make the world safer for the for Iran and Iran's expansionist tendencies. Do you agree with that assessment?
I agree fully. Look at the situation in Iraq. Banks are closed. Police dismantled. Judicial courts are replaced. All government employees must attend ISIS centers, declare their allegiance to the ISIS. They must get a repentance document. They must get a document that they are innocent. If not, they are Shia or Christians, they're beheaded or from the front of the neck, the back of the neck, or even shot. We showed videos galore on this issue. All Christians now are prohibited from working in the government or buying and selling unless they give allegiance to the caliphate. All doors are knocked on to report how many unmarried girls exist in order to marry them to the ISIS soldiers. In Mosul, they have issued what they term the city covenant, in which all tombs, like the biblical tomb of Jonah, is to be destroyed, and it was destroyed, and no one did anything.
So this plague upon the world, is it a new plague, or is it a resurgent virus that has mutated into this more virulent form?
It's not new at all. I mean, if you go to Khalid ibn al-Walid, who was the commander general of the Prophet of Islam himself, and he went to Iran, Persia, and he killed the Christians. He vowed to make a ravine of blood, drink the blood from the skulls of the enemies, and in which they had to even open water to wash the coagulated blood. I could show you photos of reminiscent from history of towers of skulls that the Islamists have done. How do you think the Islamists or the Muslims occupied, you know, the Middle East from Syria to Lebanon to Turkey to Byzantium, everything? You know, this is basically a recreation.
Right. In other words, the Muslims did not conquer these nations through love and through the golden teachings of their book. They did it through the most vicious Hitler-like tactics the world had ever seen.
Absolutely. I mean, if you ask an ISIS, what do you want? Here's what he will tell you. He will tell you, I want the dismantlement of Sykes-Picot. He tell you that I want to recreate the Islamic caliphate that was bruised in Turkey in the Ottomans. He will tell you that every single tribal system must submit to the order of the one rule of one nation called the Nation of Islam. He will tell you that all Christians must either submit, die, or pay the jizya taxation. It's exactly what happened in history. It's exactly what's happening now. Homes are marked with the letter Noon, N, which means Nasrani, Nazarene, the follower of the Nazarene, that's Christian. And if they don't pay the jizya, they are killed, beheaded, they're uprooted. That's why they all decided to leave. In fact, you look at the situation now. This is the second wave that we witness now. The second wave of persecution in Iraq against Christians, and nothing's happening. After Mosul fell, now we have Qarakush, in which all the people who fled to Qarakush and to the Kurdish areas, Qarakush held the biggest village of Christians. Nearly 100,000 were exiled. They had no place else to go but to escape. And Qarakush had to face the same fate, either accept Islam, pay the jizya, or get beheaded. This is all in writing. These are edicts comes out of the ISIS.
Does our government know this? Does Obama know this?
Of course he does. Obama's image. We know who Obama is. We know what Obama's family is about. Obama's talking about the Yazidis, but who's talking about the Christians? I mean, I feel bad for the Yazidis. They're being stuck in a mountain hill and all of this, but they're taking the Yazidi situation. But the Christian situation is basically ignored. Only France is basically doing something.
Well, you know, the prognosis is quite poor given the weakness of the West. What do you suggest needs to be done other than total annihilation?
What needs to be done is to what happened to some minority Christians in Syria. The Lions of the Cherubim, look it up. We wrote the stories about it. We videotaped them. We showed how they held a fortress in their area and in which the Muslim terrorists came to take over the church. Hundreds of terrorists were killed. These are victories. What American people love is victory, like Patton says, you know. It is not the idea of us dying for our country. It's making the enemy die for their cause. And this is what they have done in Syria. So the same thing needs to be done in the Christians in Iraq. We need to arm the Christians in Iraq. But many evangelicals in America will disagree because you're supposed to turn the other cheek. Why is America not allowed to turn the other cheek? And why Israel doesn't turn the other cheek? I'm for Israel. Israel doesn't turn the other cheek in Gaza. Why only the Assyrian Christians are demanded to turn the other cheek? So we should arm the people. We should give them the ability to fight back as they did in Syria and have them conquer the Islamists once and for all.
But isn't Assad, as horrendous as he was, the last great hope to annihilate them? First in Syria and then in northern Iraq. Wouldn't the Syrian army itself be the best equipped and the best able to destroy them.
These people who hate Assad should go ask the Christians in Syria what to think of Bashar al-Assad. They voted for him. Under Bashar al-Assad, Jewish minorities and Christian minorities were absolutely protected. There was no harm done to them. So, yes, as much as they think he's a dictator, yes, he is anti-Israel. Of course, Israel can tame Bashar al-Assad as Reagan tamed Muammar al-Qaddafi in the past. He is something that can be maintained. But taking Bashar al-Assad out, we see what happened to the Christians in Syria. We see what happened to Kassab. We've seen the Turkish attempt to invade even in Syria using the ISIS. The Turkish government cooperates with the ISIS. ISIS takes the oil from Syria, sells it, and the Turkish deal with these things and make money out of the whole ordeal. The Turks, with the full birds, were caught on recording talking about how they're going to enter Syria and destroy the tomb of Sulaiman Shah and to use the ISIS and the Islamist terrorists and the caliphate. They park right there in the borders of Syria and Turkey. No harm done by Turkey to the terrorists. So we can see a khilafah being created in the Iraqi or the Levant area. What's going to happen in the future is that the Turks will basically use this caliphate to revive the Ottoman caliphate. That's what everybody's talking about. The Ottoman caliphate that was bruised by the West, by Christendom, they want to revive it to destroy.
No, I needn't remind the world of the Armenian massacre. Maybe they ought to look it up. The Armenian Holocaust, where, what, several million Armenians were slaughtered in the streets, in their houses, everywhere along the watchtower by the Muslim Ottomans, the Ottoman Muslims. The slaughter of the Ottoman, the slaughter of the Armenians. People don't realize that there was a Holocaust against Christians in the form of the Armenian Holocaust. Would you tell the world on the Savage Nation just briefly what the slaughter of the Armenians was about, please, Waleed?
Well, when the Turks decided to cleanse all the Armenians, there was a letter issued by the government which says, don't feel sorry for this bad situation. They took them to no man's land, and they starved them to death, million. Let's talk about the massacre of Smyrna. This is to every Christian who listens on your show, who reads their Bible, in which they look at the seven lampstands and the seven churches in the New Testament. One of them is a church of Smyrna. How did it end? In which the Smyrnan Christians were beheaded, decapitated. I can show you photos, black and white, of Armenian heads piled so high, in which the women finally ended up going to the loading dock, having no one to help. There was even Western ships, military ships, docked in Smyrna. These ships were told not to intervene because they had supposedly the want to influence or affect the delicate peace process with the Ottoman Turkish government, in which those women were taken to Hagia Sophia, and the beautiful women were being, you know, taken to the to this Janissarian and that Janissarian, and they were fighting each other over the pretty girls, in which in Hagia Sophia was turned into a mosque. The shame of Christendom is upon us today. And you get me going on this because I see it happening to the Assyrian brothers and sisters over there. With the silence of Christians in America, it is absolutely deafening. Where are the pastors on the White House lawn crying for the Christians?
I don't know. They're useless. They're useless teaching the same old rubbish about pacifism, which is not even Christian. This whole concept of turn the other cheek is not even the fundamentals of Christianity, so far as I understand it. And I have spoken to theologians who agree with me. If Christianity had only been about turning the other cheek, there wouldn't be a Christian left on the planet.
That is absolutely correct. Christianity had fought Islam. Let's talk about the Battle of Lepanto, in which the Catholic Alliance fought. And you had some of these wimpy Christians who fought with the Muslims, who said, turn the other cheek, oh yeah. And they stood with the Muslims fighting against the Catholic Alliance. It was the largest naval armada in Christian history, in which they finally formed a cross out of the ships and ate the crescent of Islam. And they destroyed the Islamic conquest in Europe. It was the American Christians don't understand that.
No, they don't. They're yeah. Sheeple. They go to these churches and all they get is the mumbo jumbo about being nice to the Guatemalans and El Salvadorans. Now, let me ask you something, Waleed. Here's the real question today, because I know the answer, but I want you, the expert, to tell the listeners of this show the danger they're in. With the millions of Muslims in this country, how many of them? How many of these Muslims in America are potentially jihadists?
Well, you have two sides of Muslims. You have Muslims who are openly jihadist in America. In every single Muslim organization, that are major organization, whether from the Muslim Islamic Society, ISNA, the CARE group, all of these people, you will find leaders who were caught and imprisoned for financial terrorism. Every single one of them. You have Muslim minority affairs programs. You have Hillary Clinton's aide, Huma Abedin, who her father wrote the manifesto for the Saudi government on how to use the Muslim minorities in America. But first, they have to destroy the Jews of America. This is actually in the manifesto. I was the first in the country to translate. He was one of the 20 scholars who worked on this manifesto. This is Huma Abedin.
And is that why she married Anthony Weiner of Jewish descent?
The reason she can marry Anthony Weiner is because her mother, we got her a membership in the Muslim Brotherhood. She wasn't just a member. She was a leader in the Muslim Sisterhood organization in which Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi issued an edict called Muruna. Every American should read it. I was the first to discover all these things. M-U-R-U-N-A, Muruna, in which Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi legitimized that Muslim women can marry non-Muslims and Muslims can work in banks, even though banks practice what they call riba or usury. They're allowed to work in banks. Even Muslims are allowed to kill other Muslims if the killing will kill the enemy. So this is part of the Muslim Brotherhood agenda in which the Egyptian
government... You know, you mentioned, you know, I jokingly said that America, the White House is run by the Muslim Sisterhood. I didn't even know such a sisterhood existed. Waleed, before we take a quick break, is there really a Muslim Sisterhood? And is it possible some of them are advising the president? Listen, I'll be right back on the Savage Nation with Waleed Shubat right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Alaikum salam to my guest, Waleed Shubat, who knows more about this than anyone I've ever met. Waleed, welcome back to the Savage Nation. His website is shubat.com, S-H-O-E-B-A-T.com. If you want to see pictures of what your Muslim friends have done through history, instead of reading the fantasies that you're being taught by your government, go to shubat.com. He's a man who knows what he's talking about, former member of the PLO, former terrorist. He knows what he's talking about. Waleed, is there a Muslim Sisterhood?
In fact, the Muslim Sisterhood was established in Egypt in 1933.
Good God.
Labiba Ahmed started then. And in fact, the United States is not immune of Sisterhood influence. The group's male supervisor is Abdullah al-Nahshan. He was the director of the Virginia office of the Muslim World League. And let's talk about the Muslim World League. The financial arm is a defunct Rabita Trust.
Waleed, listen, before we're almost out, we have a minute left. I could talk with you for three more hours. Waleed, how worried should we be in America about this ISIS group having penetrated through front groups, not only the government, but our intelligence agencies and the FBI? Is there any worry on that regard?
Absolutely. This is in every aspect of our government. In the military, you have Taha Jaber al-Alawani, who recruits the clergy, which you have the Fort Hood massacre. All that is a result of this kind of thing. You have Abdullah Omar Nasif, who was the boss of the Abedins, who was the boss of Huma Abedin, Anthony Weiner's wife. You know, Saleh Abedin is the mother. And she.
Good God. So, Waleed, you mean I can wake up one day and find out that the country is run by a radical Muslim? Or have I already awakened to that?
You will wake up to ISIS coming into this country and blowing up major, major, major infrastructures.
And who will they blame it on, Israel?
Look,
Waleed, shobat.com, S-H-O-E-B-A-T.com. Waleed, stay with us for the next hour, can you please?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It seems to me that this administration is in a purple haze. I don't know whether it's the drugs, the sex, or the rock and roll in the White House. But does anyone listening to this show think that launching two bombs against this terrifyingly monstrous genocidal force in Iraq was sufficient to stop them? This is the same group saying we will raise the flag of Allah at the White House. Now, I must backtrack a few hours because when the show began, I jokingly went into some jokes about, for a comic relief, Viagra horror stories, and we had a lot of fun. And then I told you that we'd have a guest on at the second part of last hour named Waleed Shobat to talk about this terrifying nightmare that is going on right now around the world, not only in Iraq. And he's been with us for half an hour only. He rejoins us on the Savage Nation. Waleed Shobat can be reached at shoebat.com. Waleed, a pleasure. Thank you for returning. Alechem Shalom again. Waleed, tell the American people who are listening the danger they are in from the penetration within our own government of these forces called ISIS-like forces.
Well, the ISIS does plan to attack the United States. It's not far-fetched. There are many who are giving allegiance. So what ISIS is demanding from Muslims worldwide to give allegiance, and you find this allegiance being given from Jordan, Syria, and Iraq, all over the Saudi Arabia, even within Saudi Arabia, there's a danger from ISIS plans in itself against the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. So it's not far-fetched. You have Islamists in the United States giving allegiance to the ISIS, which will become recruitable in the near future to create havoc. Let's not forget the videos that you watch of the beheadings in my blog. I mean, we were the first to break those kind of videos. It was suicide bombers who entered into Division 17 of the Syrian army. One Saudi armed with explosives that was heard miles away when it exploded. Two car explosives, and then they basically took all the soldiers, all the POWs, decapitated their heads, and went to the city square of Raqqa, and there on the spikes of the fences, in the square, in the circle, they began to post all the heads for the whole world to see. And during the Eid, the Islamic celebration, what do you think, you have Christmas trees and you would have lights coming down from wires in America? Well, there they had heads dangling down from the wires.
Wait, what year was this?
This has just happened a couple of weeks ago.
And I didn't see it on CNN. How come? How come Wolf Blitzer, who was so concerned about the poor people in Gaza, didn't show us those images?
Well, it's very difficult for me to explain the American mindset. I can explain the Muslim mindset. But, again, the American public are not used to kind of seeing the steer being killed. They just buy the meat package. They're not used to this kind of gory detail. But if they can see the gory detail on our website. We show the whole thing, killing Christians, killing Armenians.
I'm going to be accused of being an alarmist, that they really don't threaten us. It's something over there. We should turn away from it. They've been killing each other 1,000 years. And yet even Dianne Feinstein, who is not my favorite individual in the Senate, my blood turns cold whenever she speaks. But she's the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, and today she said that the Islamic murderers in Iraq must be confronted by the U.S. forcefully because she's afraid of what they might do in this country. So is she the only one who knows this? Does the CIA know this? Does the president know this? And what are they going to do about it?
It's very difficult, you know, whether the CIA knows this or doesn't know this. I mean, you had one terrorist who supposedly was reformed, who killed 5 CIA agents a few years ago, Hammam Khalil al-Balawi. Hammam Khalil al-Balawi went to supposedly classes and he was reformed, and he was going to give hints to the CIA on where the whereabouts of Ayman Zawahiri. And he, in fact, I was the first in the country to show this guy's poetry in the Arabic language on his blog. He talks about how he's going to take a lorry, a pickup truck, and detonate it, and Allahu Akbar, he's with the arms of the virgins, and so on and so forth. They don't read the Arabic, and that's the problem.
Do they really believe that they go to a heaven with virgins? Do they really believe that?
Absolutely. You go to my village in Beit Sahur, Bethlehem, and you see my Aunt Fatima, when my cousin Ra'ed Shu'aibat was going to detonate and kill Jews in Ben Yehuda Street, he was killed by the Israelis. You think the Israelis are going to stop him like a police car and say, roll down your window, you have a right to remain silent, Jewish attorney? No, he will detonate and kill. So they made a barricade, shot him and killed him and his friends. And my aunt Fatima would go to the streets, pass candy in the streets. His photos will be all over the streets as he's Rambo. The loudspeakers from the mosques will be talking about the martyr and how you go to heaven. Of course they believe this. Why do you think that dying is to be killed for?
How can the world survive a retrograde mentality such as this? And why has it not evolved? The bigger question is this. Christianity evolved in the Middle Ages. It went through a reformation. Why has Islam not gone through a reformation, Waleed? Tell me why.
Well, it's impossible if you look at the Quran itself. The problem with the Quran is that it declares that a land that is, let's say, Israel in this case, in itself, Muhammad declared eschatological views about end times, that the Jews will be killed and the stones and the trees will cry out, there's a Jew hiding behind me. We all know the phrase. That comes from the origin of Islam itself, from Muhammad, the prophet of Islam. Until the Americans are ready to address the theological concepts of Islam, what it is, what Muhammad said, what he declared, then we'll be ready to fight this war. We have to fight the ideology itself. When we look at the edicts of, let's say, Umar ibn al-Khattab, you know, Christians and Jews must wear identifiable clothing. They have to live in marked houses. This is why ISIS marked the homes of the Christians in Mosul with an N. This comes from Sunan Abu Dawud, book 38, you know, number 4.
Well, Waleed, are they going to be in our backyard soon? I mean, they're here now. We know that they're all over America. We know that they're being catered to by this government. We know that if anyone says half of what I'm saying on this radio show, they're called a racist or a thisophobe or an Islamophobe. How can the country survive if we have such fools running the country?
It's very difficult. Every American needs to go to the highest top building in New York and imagine himself falling down to the ground and remember 9/11. He's not in the same shoes of the American that had to fall from the Twin Tower to his death. So they need to understand the fire department who try to go help and rescue people and what happened to them. They forget that recent history. How can I remind them of histories of the wars between Christendom and Islamdom to even remember? They're ahistoric. This is the most of the Christians I run into in America. They're ahistoric. They understand nothing about the Middle East. They understand nothing about their biblical concepts, about biblical eschatology, about Islamic eschatology. They don't understand these views, how it was viewed in the Middle Ages, how it was viewed in history. They don't have these concepts. They just get to go to their churches and they think that, you know, just praise and worship and go home and it's a service and you have to be reserviced again because the fuel runs out by the weekday. So on the weekend, you got to go back to the service. That's why they call it service, you know. I deal with it all the time, you know. Church leaders in this country are clueless. So it's the church that's the problem. What's the church doing about the persecution of their fellow Christians? Well, you know, they sit there and they argue over Catholic concepts versus Protestant concepts. Sola fide, sola scriptura, those are fine and dandy, but they don't argue over the survival of Christendom, over the duties of Christianity to save lives.
Yeah, but the Jews are the same. You go into a synagogue, what do you think they're saying to the sheeple in the synagogues? Telling them to give old clothing and boxes of food to the invaders from Guatemala and El Salvador. They never say a word about the dangers of Islam in the synagogues. But Waleed, you agree with me that if there was the equivalent of a Constantinople in the West, that the West could still be saved. Isn't that what we're saying?
Yes, the Muslim concept is all the way to Rome. First, Constantinople is what they say, which they took. There is Turkey, Hagia Sophia. Then Rome. I even look it up in the Arabic. ISIS is saying, we're going to fight. Al-Khilafa Baqiya, the caliphate will remain from now until we reach to Rome. That is Europe, the heart of Europe. They want to go to the heart of Europe. And it's not far-fetched. Of course, I would disagree that the ISIS could do this now. But if and when this Khalifa is removed and taken over by, let's say, Erdogan of Turkey, who wants to create a caliphate, who made no qualms about wanting to create an Islamic dominance, who made no qualms when he made his poetry, the domes are our helmets, The mosques are our refuge, the domes are our helmets, and the minarets are our bayonets, and the Muslim is our foot soldier. Do you think he was kidding? He's winning. He's victorious in Turkey. And he's basically supported what happened in Syria, supported. Of course, he's part of NATO. Of course, the Americans are part of NATO, too. So they all collaborate together. And what the Americans don't understand is they're collaborating. In fact, it was the United States. But this is not just by myself. This is by the top scholars and the top analysts of the Middle East. They say that the United States was the beacon of the beginning of the ushering forth of a revival of an Islamic Ottoman Empire. Let's not forget, that's where the Khalifa was bruised. That's where it was dismantled in 1914. That's where the Muslim Brotherhood arose as a result and continued to try to take over Egypt. That's where the Muslim Brotherhood is camping.
But wait, let's pause. Waleed, you know so much and my mind can follow you, but most of my listeners cannot. We both have Middle Eastern minds that are much more complex than the average listener, to be honest with you. I'm not trying to be facetious or arrogant about it. They could only take in so much, and they're going to blank out. Let's talk about NATO for a minute. Let's talk about why they are making Putin, who should be our natural ally against radical Islam, into our enemy. Is this by design in order to permanently destroy any military capacity to destroy radical Islam, in your opinion?
Well, I don't think their goal is to destroy radical Islam. I think the West is still thinking of the Cold War with Russia. Putin is struggling with the same issues that we're struggling with the Islamists. We went against the Russians in Afghanistan, which in my view was a mistake, was a major mistake. That's what created the Taliban. Russia is in the forefront of helping the Christians in Syria, in fact. Russia is the one that aided the fighting of the Christians and gave them weapons. What is the United States?
Well, wait a minute. Isn't that why the American left hates him so specifically? The American left hates Putin. He's a worse enemy than Hitler was to the American left. Look at the rhetoric of Nancy Pelosi. Look at the rhetoric of Hillary Clinton. Listen to the rhetoric of Obama, always provoking Putin, who should be our greatest ally against radical Islam. And by the way, what about China? They have their own Muslim problem with the Uyghurs out there in the Western regions who are killing indiscriminately at railway stations, cutting the throats of ordinary Chinese commuters. What about China in all of this, Waleed?
Well, that's a good question. China have the Xinjiang region in which the Uyghurs want their own Arabic script. The same problems we face everywhere in the West, even in France and Paris. The Muslims want to burn Paris to the ground. So the Chinese deal with the same issue. We keep focusing so much on China. But what we forget is that we had a war with Japan. Shinzo Abe of Japan, he made deals with Turkey by a certain year. They're going to have nuclear ability. Shinzo Abe, who they think that Japan is this Buddhist, whatever it is, and it's very peaceful and loving and everything else, they're reviving the same concepts they had pre-World War II currently. This is what they're trying to do in Japan.
So, Waleed, is this a result of the vacuum of power created by the insertion of this imposter in the White House? Is that why this world is coming apart?
Well, when you have liberalism, there's a cost. You know, if you have Al Gore, who used Abdullah Omar Nassif, who's the boss of Homa Abedin, to complement Islam left, right, and center, to say Islam believes in...
Al Gore is an enemy of America for having done what he did by opening Al Jazeera to this country. That alone is a crime against the American people. But he put profit ahead of anything else. This is astounding to me. The same man who puts out the fraud of global warming brings in the fraud of radical Islam and disseminates into the American home. How do you like that one? Waleed Shobat, I'm going to keep you on because I can't go away. Shoebat.com. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Hot Talk 560 KSFO. KSFO.
So we're in a very bad place, and it's because of the power vacuum in the United States of America. But it's much worse than that. Chuck Hagel and Leon Panetta have decimated the United States military. 2,000-plus of the best combat-hardened majors fired. 5,000-plus Army captains fired. 2,000-plus highly trained, combat-experienced, battle-tested, elite young officers fired by Chuck Hagel. What the hell is Obama thinking? Why is he doing this? My worst fears are he has some dire desire that I cannot even mention on this program right now. But all this is going on while ISIS is on the move. Why would the military be firing and decapitating its officers in the same manner that Joseph Stalin did, but instead of shooting them with bullets, he shoots them with a pink slip? Waleed Shubat, you got the last minute of the Savage Nation. Why don't you tell the world what you think is coming and how to avoid it? What must we do?
What's coming is reminiscent to what happened in Nazi Germany, because if you look what the Islamists are doing, it's exactly what happened in Nazi Germany, marking Christian homes, marking Jewish shops, so on and so forth, as what happened in Nazi Germany. Christians are not allowed to serve in the government, just as in Nazi Germany. What needs to be done is arming the Christians to fight the fight in Iraq and to fight the fight in Syria and to restore the national pride of the Middle East. It's an issue of nationalism versus universalism. The liberals find much in common with Islamists, and this is why they stand with Islamists. It's not naivete, it's agreement. That's what American people need to understand. It is agreement and not naivete.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's a natural affinity between the American left and the viciousness of radical Islam. It's a strange paradox, given that radical Islam kills homosexuals, subjugates women. It's quite interesting that the radical homosexual community has nothing to say. The radical feminist community has nothing to say. Why are they silent as radical Islam continues its march across the globe? Tell me, Waleed, why?
Well, because if you look at someone like Al Gore, he talks about Islamic environmentalism. Muslims don't believe in creation as we do. They believe in theistic evolution.
Well, there's so much more you and I could talk about. Shubat.com, Shoebat.com. Waleed, always a pleasure, and thanks for taking time out on this busy Friday evening to be with the Savage Nation. Thank you so much. This is the Savage Nation. Thanks for giving me 15 minutes. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Let's relive the hippie days. You could turn the clock back. I wonder if the country made a few errors embracing the tie-dyes. Look what it led to. Take a look at what's running the country today. Yeah, bring it all down, man. Why not do it in the road? If it feels good, do it. God is so mad. He is just so angry. And Moses went and spoke these words unto all Israel. He said, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. And the Lord hath said unto him, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. He will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt dispossess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And the Lord will do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, the kings of the Amorites, and unto their land whom he destroyed. And the Lord will deliver them up before you, and ye shall do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be affrighted of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. It's a little piece of Deuteronomy for those of you who are fallen Jews or rising Christians. I feel that, maybe a Friday piece from the Old Testament's not so bad. Don't call and say yes, Mike, or no, Mike. And I'm going to do politics, I swear to you. It is Rock and Roll Friday. Any topic from the week is going to be fair game. Now the idiot from the head of the CDC is saying it's inevitable that Ebola will spread in the United States. That is so reassuring. I'm glad we spend billions of dollars for these morons to travel to sex clubs in Thailand to study how horses become erect. I don't understand this. What do you mean it's inevitable that Ebola spreads in the United States, moron? If you had kept Ebola in the hot zone, it wouldn't be spreading. If you put a quarantine on travelers from the nations where it is a hot zone, it wouldn't be spreading. What is wrong with these people? Don't know who advised them. Maybe the same people who were advising Obama. I really don't know. But I really don't want to get into politics. So I thought we'd begin with some comic relief, and that would be Viagra horror stories. You can say, what, are you crazy? Well, no, I'll tell you why I'm thinking of Viagra horror stories. One, because every time I see those ads on television, in the midst of my guts grinding with murder and mayhem and death, and in the midst of it, there's ads for hair transplants and male potency, and then this stupid caveat on Viagra ads is if you have an erection that lasts more than 4 hours, call your doctor? I mean, hey, if that happened to me, I'd call my priest, not my doctor. What do you mean, call your doctor? Isn't that the object? I don't quite understand the whole country I live in anymore. But one of the reasons I'm bringing up Viagra was, A, to get your attention, and B, to come up with a partial solution to the madness of the Islamofascists. Now, let's analyze why they're all so frustrated. It's sexual, and it's the lack of alcohol. So one of the reasons I bring up the Viagra story is this. I have a potential solution, short of carpet bombing the Sunni triangle. And that, tell me if you think this is absurd. Instead of dropping bombs, drop thousands of little airline bottles of alcohol. I'd start with vodka. Let him start on something easier to digest. Thousands of bottles of airline vodka in plastic bottles. Thousands of Viagra tablets and pornography. Maybe, just maybe, that would do the trick to get them off their thousand-year vendetta against the world. Now, I realize this is maybe too comedic in the political arena and a little too zany for you on a Rock and Roll Friday, but hey, that's the kind of guy I am. News, ISIS takes hundreds of Yazidi women captive. Oh, God. Oh, God, I don't want to see this. I can't take it. I was having fun. So the two impotent bombs that the commander in grief just dropped did nothing? Great. I mean, really, what a schmuck we have for a president. What a schmuckola. He drops two bombs, runs away on vacation, and ISIS runs up the hill and grabs Yazidi women. Wow! And I thought he was going to get another Nobel for this. How do you like that? No, this is not a laughing matter. We have to do something quickly. But I don't know what to say to you. I mean, I'm just laughing and having a good time. Did you hear the headline? Faster than a speeding bullet, they did it. Because they knew the doofus was on vacation. He threw two bombs at him. U.S. jets bomb Iraqi militant artillery firing on Kurds near U.S. personnel. So it's U.S. artillery. They stole our artillery. Obama orders two airplanes against them to drop two bombs, not three, not four, not five, not six, but two bombs, and then he rushes off on vacation. I don't know whether to stick to my theme of the 60s and let the world go to hell and let them all kill each other, but I feel bad for the Yazidis. They're innocent people. Who are they bothering? Who are they bothering? Can we allow another Holocaust to occur? Can we continue to let Obama drive hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of illegal aliens over the border into the United States when TB is spreading at the camps for these poor children? Can we allow it? Can we keep laughing? I don't know. Maybe living well is the best revenge. This is what comes out of the White House every day. I mean, it would be amusing if it wasn't frightening. This is what goes on every day of the week. I mean, every day you're shocked by what you see and hear. You got the Islamofascists on the warpath around the world. The Islamofascists are rising up around the world. Around the world. And they're just biding their time here in this country, by the way. So I ask you the same question. I mean, we'll move on. So Obama is starting a commission to fight corruption in Africa. Good for him. I wish he'd start in San Francisco. He should look into the corruption in contracting and solar contracts, for example, going back to Solyndra. You know, I'm all for fighting corruption, but I would start at home. I think charity begins at home. And I think that the president should invest in a new partnership to combat illicit finance in his own White House. I mean, there's widespread agreement in America that the corruption in America is at a new high. And there should be a collective effort against the corruption that costs American economies, the American economy, tens of billions of dollars every year. And the number one source of corruption in America today is illegal immigration. The number one source of corruption in this country is illegal immigration. And all of the support companies around illegal immigration, they're making a fortune off of it. So, yeah, I mean, charity begins at home, and he really ought to look into corruption right in San Francisco. Tunnels to nowhere, solar plants that produce a kilowatt of energy at a higher cost than a hydroelectric plant. That would be a good place to begin, but I doubt very much that he'll look into Treasure Island or the treasures of such treasure islands. I have never seen a president as lead-footed as this with regard to public relations, and the only reason he gets away with it is because the media dances around them for the obvious reason that he's a racial minority. And they're afraid of that, so they don't say one word about him for fear that they'll be called out in the newsrooms. I mean, that's what everyone says. Everyone says that when you talk to them, why he gets away with this. I mean, where else do you get to use Air Force One to go golfing? Where else can you get such a transporter like that? Where else can you use an Osprey helicopter to transport your dog to Martha's Vineyard? Where else can you send your wife on vacation on Air Force One at full expense without any press permitted? Where else can you send your mother-in-law along with your wife and daughters at full taxpayer expense? It's really not a bad job. There's a lot of people who would like the job. A lot of people would like that job. So don't underestimate the perks of the presidency. Here's an interesting story that's nothing to do with Obama. Hundreds of authors condemn Amazon. I'm one of them. It's an interesting story. Many prominent Bay Area writers, among the more than 900 authors who signed an open letter condemning Amazon's boycott of Hachette authors over the online retailer's contractual dispute with the publisher. Now, I wasn't asked to sign it in the Bay Area because although I've written 6 New York Times bestsellers, I don't exist in the San Francisco area to the authors of the Bay Area. In other words, I haven't written a gay bestseller or a lesbian bestseller or an anti-American bestseller, but I've written 2 novels that were bestsellers and 4 nonfiction books that were bestsellers. And my new bestseller-to-be is coming out in October, and it's from Hachette, one of the divisions of Hachette. It's interesting. And I have a problem with Amazon because for the first time in my history as an author, I'm not going to be able to tell you to go to Amazon to buy the book and drive it to number one. And that's because Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos is in a fight with Hachette over something to do with royalties or the price of books or whatever. And so the newspaper mentions authors I've never heard of who are on their list of important authors, including Bay Area authors who I've never heard of. I've outsold most of them. But again, as I say, as in the ex-Soviet Union, if you're not a Soviet, you didn't exist. But yet I have my own audience that buys my books. So this is an interesting story. The letter will appear as a full-page ad in Sunday's New York Times, being paid for by Authors United, blah, blah, blah. And what it is a problem. Amazon is fighting with Hachette over a fee base, something to do with fees. And I cannot tell you to go to Amazon to buy the book because it's not listed. They're not doing, not just me. All the Amazon, all of the Hachette authors are in a fight for their survival because of this. So I'm going to have to actually ask you to hold your fire to buy my book and go and buy it in a good old bookstore, incidentally. I need to make this book number one. You're going to have to do it for me. And the reason is that we have to send the message. I don't want to talk about it until after September. But that is an interesting story, that Hachette Amazon story. And it just shows you what greed, how greed kills. It just shows you how a greedy group like Amazon can, for, you know, it's very political when you think about it. What Amazon is doing to this one publisher, which is actually a family of publishing companies, shows you what power does. It corrupts a man's mind. Jeff Bezos has become drunk on his own power. And no matter what anyone says to him, like settle it, make it work, he won't do it. He wants to show how powerful he is. Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos. Now, here's a guy who, by the way, who started as a struggling little company. And many of my books launched Amazon on the road to selling everything and becoming one of the world's largest corporations. I made Amazon a lot of money, by the way. I contributed to the growth of Amazon, as did the other Hachette authors. And yet this is how Jeff Bezos pays back the authors off who he lives. And so, no, this is an interesting story about power corrupting and absolute power corrupting absolutely. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Okay, as we come to the end of TGIF Friday, the president's on a vacation. He authorized the dropping of 2, count them, 2, exactly 2. Everyone in the world knows, not more than 2, not 3. Why not 4? Why 2 bombs? Why not 4 bombs? Why not 6 bombs? Nobody dropped, we hear, 2 bombs. And in Iraq, to save the people on the mountaintop. Now, the artillery pieces that they were using were stolen from the United States Army after the United States Army was precipitously withdrawn by the commander-in-chief, by the way. I don't know what this is going to do to save the people. It will stop the onslaught and the shelling of the mountaintop. But I don't understand this. Is this a plan or what? Well, Obama said he'd end the war in Iraq, and he sure has. By the way, the Islamofascists called ISIS is systematically beheading children in a Christian genocide. Mothers are being raped and killed. Fathers are being hung. Right now, 3,000 Christians are in Iraq fleeing to neighboring cities. And some of the best sound on this is from General McCaffrey, who I happen to respect. And he said he's dismayed by U.S. strategy in Iraq. He calls it muddled thinking. He said, if you're going to protect refugees, 50,000 people without water and food, you don't do two F/A-18 strikes on an artillery unit somewhere in the vicinity.
I think we have muddled thinking on what we're trying to achieve in Iraq. And so these pinprick strikes, I mean, if you're going to protect refugees, 50,000 people without water and food, you don't do two F/A-18 strikes on an artillery unit somewhere in the vicinity.
I agree 100%. And I'm only an armchair general. Meanwhile, the White House will not answer what plan B is if the airstrikes don't stop the Islamofascists. I don't know why they call them ISIS. I call them the IFers, the Islamofascists. So let's refer to ISIS as IFs. Meanwhile, the director of the Centers for Disease Spreading, I mean Disease Control, says Ebola's spread to the U.S. is inevitable.
It's the first time we're having to deal with it here in the United States. And that's not merely because of the two people who became ill caring for Ebola patients and were brought back to the U.S. by their organization. That's primarily because we are all connected. And inevitably, there will be travelers, American citizens and others, who go from these three countries or from Lagos, if it doesn't get it under control, and are here with symptoms.
Can you believe this? It wouldn't have been inevitable if the president didn't bring in people with Ebola. Meanwhile, CNN's mouthpiece John King excuses Obama's poor poll numbers, saying it's not his fault. I guess it's still Nixon's fault.
Yes, the American people do not want military intervention by the United States after Iraq and Afghanistan, but they do want success. They do want to think that their country, whether it's with a prime ally like Israel or a prime, sometimes adversary like Russia, that the president of the United States can be the one to pick up the phone or call the meeting and get results. And I'm not blaming the president for this. It's a complicated world, and it's not all his fault. But when people look around the world and then look at home, there's not much to cheer about right now, and we have one president at a time. He's paying the price.
All right, let's go to michaelsavage.com, home of borders, language, and culture. Gaza, what's going on in Gaza? Well, your friends in Hamas violated the truce and fired rockets at Israel. After a three-day truce, they regrouped and did what they always do, which is start the war again, and the war is back on. Meanwhile, the airstrikes in Iraq to take out the artillery, I don't know if this is going to increase or not. I don't know how you end an army by knocking out one artillery piece. The jihadists, known as ISIS, known as the Islamofascists, have routed the very brave Kurdish forces, and they have seized that strategic dam. They're crazy enough to blow it up. Meanwhile, in New York, the crazy leftist mayor de Blasio has squeegee men back on the streets terrorizing New York City residents. The squeegee men were the ultimate symbol of the lawlessness and blight under the last liberal mayor. Well, they're back terrorizing drivers in New York City. Don't miss the pictures of Obama's pictures of Obama's guests at the African Monsters Ball, and see how the White House opened doors to evil dictators and ignored the human rights record the very night before he bombed Iraq and abdicated Washington for Martha's Vineyard. Towards the bottom of michaelsavage.com, you'll see a bunch of audio clips of mine. Immigrants and Epidemics, Savage Tried to Warn America 30 Years Ago, Savage Audio, Ethnic Replacement of Whites, Savage Audio at the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial, Savage Audio, Savage First to Call for Impeachment in 2009, Savage Audio, Theocracy Meets Autocracy, etc. The reason I put these up is because you go into withdrawal from Friday at the end of my show until I come back on the air Monday afternoon. And this is a little gift from me to you on michaelsavage.com. Well, infidels, I've given you 15 minutes, and I hope I've given you America right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.